Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled, Call on the Lord.
So we'll start with Jeremiah chapter 4, starting at verse 11.
My anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart. My heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of a trumpet, the alarm of war. Disaster overtakes disaster. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are destroyed, my curtains in a moment. How long must I see the standard and hear the sound of a trumpet? For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They're stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void. Unto the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air have fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be desolation, yet I will not make a full end. Because of this, the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above grow black. For I have spoken, I have purposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back. At the noise of the horseman and archer, every town takes to flight. They enter thickets, they climb among rocks. All the towns are forsaken, and no one lives in them. And you, O desolate one, what do you mean that you dress in crimson, that you deck yourself with ornaments of gold, that you enlarge your eyes with paint? In vain you beautify yourself. Your lovers despise you. They seek your life. For I heard a cry as of a woman in labor, anguish as of one bringing forth her first child, the cry of daughter Zion, gasping for breath, stretching out her hands. Woe is me, I am fainting before killers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 5.
After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there was a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take it up and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus that had made him well. Therefore, the Jews started persecuting Jesus because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is still working, and I also am working." For this reason, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but was also calling God his own Father, thereby making himself equal to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so very much. So my thought this morning is linked to the prayer we had on Sunday and kind of the psalm and the Old Testament reading. I was very encouraged. We had a member of our congregation who did different type of prayer. It felt like a conversation, like bringing his thoughts about the realities of the world and the realities around him and the needs that he knew, and then bringing them to God, asking God to have mercy and to hear our prayer. And I thought that's quite refreshing, because that's what we see in the psalm. It's about the person writing a psalm describing the situation when wicked people are in charge and oppressing the poor, describing the kind of behavior they have, thoughts they have, and asking God to intervene. And in the Old Testament is a prophet doing his job, which is to tell the people of what is to come. And he had a difficult message, was a message of upcoming conflict and disaster, speaking of desolation and describing with quite vivid words that the whole land will be taken over, and it will be great destructions and sadness affecting cities and even the animal kingdom and the people. And it made me think about what is happening in Ukraine at the moment and in other places of conflict, and linking to what I read this morning from something called Lexio 365, which you can find an app on it, and which is Jesus telling about another upcoming desolation in his time, future desolation of Jerusalem, and saying to his disciple that when you see the signs, when you see the signs of that coming, do not stay, flee the place. Yet a few verses before, he encouraged them at some times to stay strong and to stay alert in other challenges of life. And it made me think of the need for the people in Ukraine, for the people in conflict zones, but also for us when we face sometimes challenge. Is it a time to stand and to persevere? Or sometimes is it a time to flee, to remove ourselves from a situation that is not good for us? It's a choice that the people in Ukraine had to make. We've heard of millions of people who fled, who felt it was time for them to move. Others who choose to stay. Some choose to stay for fighting, some because they felt it was right for them to be in the country. And I don't think one is right and one is wrong. It's to discern as a person what in their circumstances was the best thing to do. And I'm sure that a lot of people who fled was to ensure that their children could have a future, that they would be safe. And maybe somehow those children who are now, many of them in England or in other countries, learning new languages, maybe new skills, finding a different way, maybe part of God's plan would be to equip this generation so that when the conflict is finished and they go back to their country, there can be a blessing, maybe with new skills, new abilities. I don't know. This is just my thought. But we can pray. We can pray for those who make decision to flee, that they will not be filled with remorse or guilt, but that they will see the opportunities it opens, that those who are there will be strong in continuing to live there, and that God will protect and strengthen, and that God will give us ourselves wisdom to know in our situation and in our challenges what might be the right course of action. Maybe it is to remove ourselves from a certain place or a certain situation. Maybe it is to persevere and to ask God to help and strengthen us to be a witness where we are. So that was my kind of thought for the day. I don't know if someone else had something they wanted to share, maybe from the New Testament reading, which I didn't touch.
Well, the word that came to me was call on him first. God never stops working. And that doesn't mean that we're not fearful, for we are, but if we take it to the cross and leave it there with him and just ask for some discernment of what we're to do, then we will receive a peace and a direction. So I think we've got to call on him first and not do it in our own strength. That's what I heard from Jeremiah, really. Yeah.
Thank you, Lynn.
Can I say one thing from the Old Testament reading? Mm-hmm. I'm going to Israel in a couple of weeks, and it's a prayer. But just thinking of that thought of desolation in the land, and then the Lord took them back. And then in AD 70, the Romans pillaged the land again. And for 2,000 years, most of the Jews were out of the country. And there are some lovely verses in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, but Ezekiel 36, just God's promises to his people, to the Jews, that he will restore them to the land. And we saw that in 1947-1948, when Israel became a state again. And it's just wonderful what the Lord is doing there. You know, he's taking people back to the land, taking people back, and he's saving people in the land. It's just, it's like another door, another opening of just what God is doing, that he is still faithful to his covenant with his people. So that was on my heart.
Thank you, Lynn.
I've really enjoyed Jesus' actions here in the New Testament, where it says, now that the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. You think if he'd healed someone, he might have stuck around just to give him a quick alpha course or something, like a quick pamphlet. You know, often we want to have all the answers on hand, don't we? But he heals this man, just slips away, and then finds him later in the temple. So there is follow-up, which is good. That's good practice. So, but there is this intriguing concept where the Pharisees are like, well, you know, it's the Sabbath. Who told you to do this? And he's like, oh, I can't find him, which is really interesting. I like.
Well, let's bring those thoughts in prayers, and it can be just a conversations. And as we pray for ourselves, for our needs, for our town, our country, and the needs of the church and the world. So Father, thank you that this morning we come to you as we would come to a friend, yet at the same time you are, we use words like most holy and high and lifted up. You are above everything, beyond everything, and yet we can come with our words, with our thoughts, with our questions, with our hopes, and just describe things as we see them and ask, Lord, for you to come in, intervene, like you came into that life of that man who for 40 years tried to get better. And I don't understand the conversation. I don't understand why you ask him whether he wanted to be better. I know what some commentator says. For me, it would have been obvious if someone tried for 48 years. He did say he would stand up, or he would try to get there, so he still had energy to try to be healed. What I think is wonderful, Lord, is that in this story he had no clue of who you were, and yet he got healed. And it made me think of all the people who are crossing churches around the world, maybe with little knowledge of who you are, and yet you want them to experience your presence and maybe to heal them and to start them maybe on that journey then of faith. So I pray that at St. James will open for that kind of work when people cross the door of our church, maybe for the first time. Lord, give us words, give us a picture, give us an insight so that they can be blessed, so that they can know, they will know that you are there and you've done something in their lives.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.